We'll see how he measures up to Saturday grade at his first attempt, but he's a horse on the up.
All right, terrific. Now, Grafton Carnival noms close today too, don't they?
They do, and we'll look to get the two major race weights, the Ramorny and the Cup, out by close of business this afternoon. Now, there will be more than likely horses running today that will be nominated for both of those races. So, all going well, we'll try to update those, and then we'll get those out this afternoon, and they'll be on the web late this afternoon. And also, Sean, just unsure if you've mentioned Mr. Steele. He won race 4 at the Warwick Farm meeting yesterday. Now, he is an acceptance for Rose Hill on Saturday, which were finalised yesterday morning. Now, he's been penalised 2 kilos and will now carry 56.5. We spoke with trainer Bjorn Baker, and he has advised that if the horse comes through yesterday's run okay, then he will take his place on Saturday with that 2 kg penalty.
Terrific. Damien, good to talk, and we'll have a yarn next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about Grafton. That'll be great.
Thanks, Damien. Damien Hayes, senior handicapper racing New South Wales. It's just past 10 at Sky Sports Radio.
They've got a chance here. They've got the numbers.
This year, Origin 3 is shaping up to be an absolute blockbuster. So much so that the Big Sports Breakfast is crossing the border and following the Blues into Cane Toad territory. We'll be broadcasting live from the home of the enemy, Brisbane, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday mornings with all the must-know Origin news. Tune into the team smack bang in the centre of Origin 3 happenings. The Big Sports Breakfast, right here on Sky Sports Radio from 5:30 a.m. Thanks to TAP.
An enormous jackpot has landed. This Saturday, there's a $100,000 quaddy jackpot at Rosehill Gardens. That's right, a $100,000 quaddy jackpot. First leg is race 5 at 2:25. Plus, this Saturday night, there's a $2,000 first 4 jackpot on every race at Wentworth Park. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local TAB. TAB.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Feel sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for TAB Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to TAB Talk.
And it is 2 minutes past 10 with Sean Cosgrove and Trent Langscale from tab.com.au. Morning, Trent. How are you?
Going well yourself, Cozzy.
Fantastic. Good day.
It is a good day, and looking at a lot of different sport over the next 30 minutes. There's been Wimbledon. We've talked about Origin 3 during the week, and the Ashes are less than a week away. It's scary to think, but we're looking forward to plenty of bleary eyes over the next couple of months, and we'll be speaking to Robert Crash Craddock from the Courier Mail and News Limited shortly about the Ashes. It's going to be a fantastic series, as it always is, and hopefully we retain that urn.
And Trent, that all pales into absolute insignificance compared to this. I've gone to a lot of money to get the band together. Oh, let's take him out of the back and give him a kicking. They won't be getting paid. Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you, Cozzy.
You got to admit, just smile and look at your teeth, see if we can figure out how old you are. You going to tell us today?
Yeah, 34. There's no worries about that.
The 13th anniversary of your 21st.
Yeah, we'll go with that. That sounds much more positive.
That's the way the girls always look at it. So 34 today.
Yes.
Not looking a day over 40 either. Jeez, had a laugh. Tough life, Trent. Now, as you said, we've got a lot to look forward to. We're going to talk to Crash Craddock shortly with the cricket. What are the odds of the Aussies, Fave?
Yeah, we'll have a look at the first test, and it starts Wednesday, 8 o'clock at Sophia Gardens in Cardiff. So England, $4, the draw at $3.50, and Australia, the favourites, at $1.90. Now, for the series result, we've got England, $4.25, a drawn series at $8.50, and Australia, $1.40. So that's the Ashes series result. Now, just simply, Australia to retain the Ashes. Yes, they will, $1.22, and no, they won't, at $4.25. There's a few other bet types that we've got plenty of them. So the Ashes Series High Bet, which looks at both of the nations. Steve Smith is the $4.50 favourite. David Warner, $6.50. Joe Root at $7. Alistair Cook at $8. And then you get out to $11 for Ian Bell, Michael Clarke and Chris Rogers. Now for the Ashes Series most wickets, once again for both nations, Mitchell Johnson is the $5 favourite. Then you've got James Anderson, Josh Hazlewood and Mitchell Stark all at $6. And then at $7 is Stuart Broad. Now Ryan Harris is $7 as well, but they'll be giving a push out because it looks like he'll be likely missing the first two tests. He was withdrawn from the tour match last night and it looking like he's going to be in a bit of doubt for the first two tests. They're pretty much one after the other and then there's a tour match after that before the third test. So there's that there. And the player of the series, Steve Smith, he's been in superior form over the past 12 to 18 months. He is the $5 favourite. Mitchell Johnson and David Warner at $9. Michael Clarke and Joe Root at $11. Then you get out to $13 for a few of the players there, James Anderson and Mitchell Stark among them. So once again, going to be a tremendous Ashes, hopefully looking to win it for the first time in England since 2001. We've been over there three times since and it hasn't been that great. So looking forward to hopefully seeing the Aussies retain that urn on English soil.
Now, it certainly will be. It's amazing the punt. We love it here. Do they bet as much overseas? I mean, they only have the betting shops in England, don't they, where they have a crack at?
They probably do, Cozzy, but yeah. We've had the old stories of Dennis Lilly and Rod Marsh. They managed to get a nice little earn over in one of those series when it was a foregone conclusion. Australia was going to win a test over there until Sir Ian Botham decided to change that around. There's plenty of interest, and the time zone isn't great for us, but the fact that the Ashes is on, this is the iconic series. We know that we have plenty of interest when it's a summer series here. Depending on the nation, it can vary. I mean, India are usually a strong one, along with England and a competitive South Africa. But knowing that it starts at 8 o'clock, we'll have that first session, and then you can go through to, well, basically 3 o'clock in the morning once the day's over. So that'll be, like I said, the eyes will get a little bit red-eyed, but there will be plenty of interest, and particularly if you get to day four and day five, where all three results are a possibility now. The weather can be fickle in England, as we know, but if we know we're getting towards the last day and England's a chance of winning, we're a chance of winning, and just depending on circumstances, you could have the draw, you can see some competitive betting, and a lot of support as we get to that final day of a test.
Yeah, now we're going to try and get up Crash in a moment and have a look and get his thoughts. He's with the Courier Mail over there, and we'll be following the Ashes tour. As I said, do we have what when we have a bet on the cricket? Can we bet on, say, the highest score, most wickets, who, you know, this style of thing?
Yeah, you'll be able to bet. We've talked about that. You'll be able to bet on who will be the highest run scorer in the Ashes series, who will be the best wicket taker during the Ashes series. You'll have bet types on certain players on their over under runs throughout the five tests. There's even bet types on which Australians will make a century. So you'd like to think over the course of the five tests that a player like Steve Smith, Michael Clarke, and David Warner that they'd reach three figures. So you've got those different bet types, and then there's, like I said, there's the simple one that if you think that we're going to retain the urn, that we're $1.22 and England to pry it away from our hands is $4.25. So those where you've got those particular markets.
All right, well, Robert Crash Craddock joins us now. Morning, Robert, how are you?
G'day, Bryce, how are you? Thanks for having us on.
Now, $1.22 us to keep to get the Ashes, $4 something for England to take it away. They fair odds, do you reckon?
I think Australia are marginally unders and England are overs. I mean, they've won the last three series in England and they always give more of a yelp there than what you think they're going to. I mean, look, from the years 1989 to 2001, in those series banked up, Australia with a great team steamrolled England, and they did. But each side of that, England have more than held their own. So they need a hero who we can't see at the moment. I mean, if you said to me, okay, you know, who's going to be England's magnificent standout blitz player? I can't find one at the moment. But on home soil, someone often does rise, and that's significant. So I reckon Australia, I would not be taking Australia at those odds, and I certainly won't be backing England myself, but I could certainly understand it if you had your next caller's an Englishman and he said, oh, I'm having a little wager on my boys.
Chris, looking back a few years ago, we used to get a lot of the guys, Warney and those that would play in those days, the club cricket in the off-season over in England, so they experienced the grounds a whole lot. These days, though, with the subcontinent, those contracts there, do we have as many Aussies staying and playing in England, or are they all just heading off chasing the dollar?
Yeah, look, it's a very good point. I mean, Sean Marsh, some people are tipping him to open the batting. I don't think he will. I think Chris Rogers will get it. One of the reasons why I hope Rogers does get it he has played in England for a decade. Sean Marsh has played one match in England. I mean, and that was a match he played last week. That's all he's played there. So you're quite right. I mean, Alan Border played league cricket in England, and there's a beautiful photo we've still got on file at our paper of him out in the middle of a ground. I think it's at Rishton, and it's snowing. It's the ground is covered in snow. Mark Waugh had played league cricket and had his tooth fixed by the local dentist from the club. And these guys filtered up through Essex. They played together and they became acclimatised. So you're quite right. It's not as big as it used to be because players earn so much now, they don't have to go to England to earn that $150,000 a year.
Robert, we're less than a week away from the first test there at Sophia Gardens in Cardiff, and it appears just from looking outside that the squad's in good spirits, although the withdrawal of Ryan Harris last night may have put a dampener on things. He wasn't expected to probably play in the first test, but still he's had a great record in the previous Ashes series.
Well, he has. He's taken 113 wickets, and half of them have been against England in tests at an average of 20, which is damn bustingly good, I've got to say. Look, his future is in doubt. I mean, if he misses those first two tests, will he play one? If they win the first two, will he get in? So, look, it is a dampener because I know we're sitting back now saying, oh, look, we've still got Hazelwood and Stark. How good is that? But it only takes one more injury for this to suddenly be a very even series. I mean, And if you said to me now, give me a way that England can get into this series, I'll tell you exactly what it is. We've got quite an old team, and if they can bat in that first test in Cardiff for like a day and a half and put 470 on the board, blokes will suddenly feel their hamstrings. They haven't played a lot of five-day cricket. And if one of them breaks down and Peter Siddle comes in, well, you know, suddenly, you know, that's an attack you think could be manageable. So that's why I think the $1.20 or $1.22 Australia is slight unders.
Yeah, and I guess that's the cause for concern as well, is that the first test is in Cardiff, as you talked about, and the second is at Lord's, and it's a quick back-up, and there's just the nuances, the quirks of Lord's about the running up, and we saw Ryan Harris, he took 24 wickets at 19 in the previous Ashes series. All of a sudden, you've got Josh Hazlewood, who's inexperienced at that level. It's just, yeah, a little bit of a worry.
Well, back-to-back tests can throw up all sorts of different plots. I mean, you know, if you can hold, I always reckon in back-to-back tests, if you can put a big innings in your first innings of the first test, you get a dividend for about 10 days because bowlers who are coming back from their third spell suddenly feel very tired and just don't really get a chance to recover. So, look, I think Hazelwood's really bankable. He's a good, sturdy, strong kid, but he is just starting out. So you know, there's an issue there, and I think that I'm interested to see what sort of wickets England produce. What gives them the best chance? I mean, to me, the wickets that give them the best chance are the two at the extreme ends of the scale. Green wickets, so that it becomes a lottery, or completely flat feather beds where anyone can score runs and they sort of take the edge of Australia's attack. So I'm just so interested to see what they toss up.
Chris, it's interesting you mentioned the wickets. Here at the MCG in Melbourne, we have a drop-in wicket. So after the footy season's over, they go and drop in the turf and prepare it as a wicket. What are in England, is it just pure one, you know, Mother Nature's turf? They never, ever interfere with it? Do they play on, or do they do drop-ins there as well?
Yeah, it is. But strangely enough, one of the reasons why English county cricket, they're all natural wickets. What I love about English cricket is that within the tiny island that it is, England, in a few hours you can get from top to bottom, you get such a wide range of conditions. Like, you get turning wickets. You get bouncy wickets like the Oval, which has always been a bouncy wicket. You get turning wickets like Northamptonshire, which have always spun for the likes of Graham Swan and Bishan Bedi. And you get really flat feather beds. So that was why it was so good, because it taught players the nuances of front and back foot play and slow and fast and bouncy. Beautiful place to tour. Lovely place to learn your cricket. I mean, that's why Matthew Hayden did so well. He went to play with Graham Swan at Northamptonshire and learnt three different forms of sweep shots, how to bat on slow wickets. It was a wonderful education.
Now, with the makeup, with the team crash, we've talked about what will now happen with Ryan Harris likely being out for the first two tests. Another battle that we've watched with interest during, well, the West Indies tests and now the tour matches is that all-rounder spot. Is it a fait accompli that Shane Watson will be in the side, considering how well Mitchell Marsh has been playing?
Yeah, look, it's such a good question. It really is. And I've actually just been debating that point with one of our journos in England like 5 minutes ago, and he's covering the tour, and he's uncertain. He said, mate, this is so tight. Look, basically, the case for Watson is he's played 8 tests in England, averaged 43 as a batsman. That's good. He's also little medium paces are quite effective as a containing weapon over there. The case for Mitchell Marsh is that he's hit 2 centuries in a row, but, I mean, including a century against Essex today, but one of their opening bowlers is a guy called Jesse Ryder, who plays for New Zealand, and Jesse is no man's idea of a test match opening bowler. To compare him to James Anderson would be ridiculous. So Mitchell's very good at dismembering attacks like that. He's a fine player on the rise. Who would I go for? I would give the first dibs to Watson, particularly with Harris out now. I just think he has that bit of experience, but they could easily go the other way. In fact, you know, there's a school of thought that Marsh may have gone past him. Very difficult call. Very difficult call.
Yeah, it's going to be fair to say that James Anderson also has a slimmer frame than Jesse Ryder as well, so be able to help with the fitness. And while we're talking about James Anderson, it has been broached before the series. England, they're kidding themselves about the no sledging, aren't they?
They are. I know what he was getting at, though. He was saying that the last series was played in a certain admirable spirit, and it was. You know, the New Zealanders play their cricket in a beautiful way, but it's just not the way Australia play Ashes cricket. So there'll be sledging, and it'll be coming back and forth, and that's the Ashes as we know it. And, you know, I'm interested to see how David Warner plays. Like, he will say in interviews that he's less antagonistic than he was, but we don't know that until there's a flashpoint. If he sits on his hands when there's a flashpoint and does nothing, that's when you know he's a different sort of character than the one we've seen over the last few years.
It's interesting. I mean, yeah, back to that, we had Merv Hughes on recently, Crash. Yeah, I think the 10 greatest sledgers, Merv's ranked in 4 of them.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they? And, you know, a lot of the famous ones never even got to print, so... But, look, there's always a little bit of lip out there, and that's what makes the Ashes. We wouldn't want it to be too tame, would we?
Well, you don't want it bland, do you?
No, absolutely.
Is there a smoky there? Sometimes we see someone really step up who is sort of a... Not, I mean, they're in the Ashes side, they're not a fringe player, but someone who really takes the next step. Is there one we can really keep an eye on that crash for this?
Well, are you talking Australia or England?
Australia, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking through the Australian team, and I can't see too much, except to say that if you had to design a bowler who you specifically to play in England and never played anywhere else, it would be Josh Hazlewood. Big, lanky, accurate, subtle seam. He was born to play in England. And I just think that one of the great regrets of covering cricket in my era was that Damien Fleming, a masterful swing bowler, never played a test in England, and I thought he was Terry Alderman in waiting. You know, he just was outstanding, and it's so sad to me he never played there, and it gives me great joy to think that now Hazlewood, that won't happen to him. And he's a mature kid, he's steady, he's so on top of his game, even though he's young. I can see him playing all tests and doing really well.
Flemo's a bigger chance to umpire one.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Oh, look, Flem, he would have been so suited to playing up there and had a beautiful test, by the way, test career, like 75 wickets at about 26. So underestimated, so underrated. As we can hear from his commentary, he's got all the funny lines, but beneath that is a vast knowledge of the game.
Yes, well, remember the best thing about him over there in England, Crash, was that just nice little underarm just from one end to the other in that World Cup semi-final in 99. That's the best that he did over there when we beat South Africa, beat South Africa to get in the final, then we beat Pakistan. Just quickly before we let you go, just the thoughts during the week that's been mooted about this day-night test that looks set to go at the Adelaide Oval during the summer. Just your feelings on that and how it will go with the pink ball and just the difference there?
I picked the right city. Because Adelaide is a city which I just think embraces anything with a bit of exciting edge to it. They're a good crowd. They clap everyone. you throw a nice event in front of them and they will endure it. So they got that right. I'm not wrapped in it, but I do feel an experiment reaches a stage where you've got to have a look at it. And then even if it fails, the experiment is still worthwhile because you've worked out that it does fail. It needs more work. I don't think it'll be a long-lasting thing in Test cricket and be played by a lot of nations. I think it'll be a quirky thing. And I still have question marks over the ball from the outfielder's perspective and the fans at the ground. I went to one at the Gabba last year and I just couldn't see the ball. I just could not see the ball in the field. It was like a comet. And, you know, so it was not a pleasurable experience after dark. So I have my reservations, but they're trying something. Good luck to them. I hope it works.
Crash, just finally, we've seen security stepped up given recent events at Wimbledon. Is there going to be a bigger presence, obviously, for the Ashes?
I'm sure there would be, because that's the world, you know. Like, you know, terrorist attacks now are a part of it. And, of course, the, you know, major sporting events. We've been lucky, haven't we? They've been pretty much sacrosanct. But you know, they'll always, I think of the volume of people going to Ashes Test. It'll be a nightmare checking everyone's bag. But it will happen. And unfortunately, that's the world we live in. Hopefully, it'll escape without incident, because I've got to say, boys, it's just a beautiful event to watch. And we just can't wait for it.
No, exactly. Well, good to catch up. We appreciate your time. And enjoy it over there. We'll look forward to the Courier Mail right around Australia. Your reports coming in, because they're always good to read.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Robert Crash Craddock there, and he's at the Ashes. Mark Connors has been having a nice run at the moment. His stable's going well, Trent, and he's got a nice runner in today, too, at Hawkesbury, and another very handy one going around today at, on Saturday at Rose Hill. Joins us now. G'day, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, fellas.
You've got Lady Corleone in today, and she's been terrific mare for you.
She has. This preparation, last preparation, only she won 3 races, and, you know, she's been a good money spinner for us.
And it's, I mean, we keep saying it this time, you don't know with the mares, but once you get them into form, they just seem to hold it for you, Mark, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I suppose the thing against her today is probably a wet track. Even though she's won a couple on the wet, she lately her best starts have been on the dry track. So probably against us, but, you know, she'll be there with the whips of cracking somewhere.
The other thing is she seems to pop herself up nice and handy in races.
Yeah, that's it. You know, she can be just in behind the look. You know, it looks like a nice little tempo though, and she should be sort of third or fourth.
And you could just Taylor on board. She's riding very well.
I think she's running fantastic at the moment. In the last sort of 18 months, we've used her a fair bit, and we've had a lot of luck with her. And, you know, she seems to put the horses in the right spot and give them every chance.
Now, I mentioned you've been having a good run of late. You've had winners just bobbing up at a very pleasant, monotonous regularity.
Yeah, I suppose we have a lot of our horses in work this time of the year. We probably just haven't got the depth for horses that have been racing around the carnival time, so we've got to sort of strike when the times are probably more suitable for us, and the winter time sort of suits us in Sydney.
Do you find that, Mark, often you can find that with certain seasons and the off-season can be better, but it's the old thing, isn't it? Get the horse in the right race.
Yeah, that's right, and as you say, we've had a few horses that have been lucky enough to handle the wet track.
Yeah.
So that's made a bonus because it's been a sort of wet couple of months. So it's been a big help.
All right. Now, 50 Shades of Grey, again, it's on fire, this preparation. It's going around the 5th at Rose Hill on Saturday. And again, got to be a great chance.
Yeah, and that's, you know, getting back to what you said, she's a mare in form. And, you know, she's a three-run just preparation for 2 seconds and a win. And, you know, a win the other day was outstanding. And, you know, she just wanting to hit the line so strong these days.
She's a four-year-old now. A couple of her preps, you only gave her 3 runs. Was it just a little bit of immaturity?
Yeah, just little things weren't going right at the time. We're different things, so sometimes you've got to stop and start again. And it's just been a case of this time where this probably last preparation and this preparation has been the smoothest run we've had.
All right. Now, Mark, with babies coming along, have you picked up many 2-year-olds?
We've got a few there. It's you know, it's always, I suppose, hard for a smaller stable to get a large number of babies, but we've probably got about 8 or 10 at the moment, and, you know, there's plenty of room for any more if anyone wants to stand, that's for sure.
Ring Mark Connors right now.
That's it.
Right. What have you got? Any size, any first season ones?
A really nice Hinchinbrook filly there.
Yeah.
She's actually a half-sister to one of the good 2-year-olds in Singapore at the moment, so we have high hopes for her when she gets to the track.
The Hinchinbrooks are going well, aren't they?
They are.
Well, we wish you luck with 50 Shades of Grey on Saturday, and Lady Corleone today. Is anything in the next 7 days we should perhaps make a little note of?
We're going to be backing up next week a really good Tennessee Husky, which has been racing in great form. She won at Canterbury last week, and I'm sure she'll give us a good run for her money again next week.
All right. Are you off to Grafton? Will you be going to the carnival there?
No, we'll stay home this year. It's never easy to go to those carnivals unless you've got one for the bigger races. And so we'll just stay home and try and win the race at Tavia.
All right. Coffs as well. That's coming up in August.
Yeah, I'll probably try and get the Coffs if I can. We like to get there. We won a couple of years ago, and we try and get there when we can. So that'll be probably our next trip away.
All right. Well, good luck through the weekend today, first of all, and good to catch up, Mark.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Connors there. 50 Shades of Grey. Lady Corleone, what odds, Trent?
Well, looking at today's race, Cozzy, Lady Corleone is a $12 chance. So race 8, number 9 for Mark Connors. Lady Corleone, a $12 chance in the 8th there at Hawkesbury. And in that 5th race at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday, 50 Shades of Grey is a $6 chance. A pretty competitive market. You've got Private Secretary, the Tab Fixed Odds favourite at $4.80. Electric Power and 50 Shades of Grey at $6. Commanding Wit and Holy Delusions at $8. And a pivotal race, that one will be amongst plenty of others at Rosehill on Saturday, especially with the Sydney Jockeys Premiership at the moment. Now, we know that Hugh Bowman and Blake Shin are trying to catch James McDonald at the moment. Hugh Bowman on 84 wins. And Blake Shin on 84.5 with a treble yesterday, so he was pretty happy with that. In that particular race, race 5, Electric Power will be ridden by Blake Shin as at $6, and Commanding Wit by Hugh Bowman is an $8 chance. And in the Sydney Jockeys Premiership, Hugh Bowman is the $2.60 favourite with those 84 wins. James McDonald, sitting on 88.5, is a $2.80 chance, and Blake Shin on 84.5 at $2.80. So they've both got 6 rides at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday. So we're into that last month of the season. It's going to be an intriguing battle for the Jockeys Premiership. And like I said, 6 rides for both of those gentlemen on Saturday.
Now, it's much the same in Melbourne as well. I mean, it's very close down there. Dwayne Dunn's on 49 wins. Craig Williams on 50. I think he's got rubbed out, though, Craig. Damien Oliver, 48. Patrick Maloney, I think, is next on 42. But there's very little between the three of those as well, Trent.
That is the case. There's basically one win separating them, as you've just talked about. So you've got plenty of battles there, and also the Trainers Premiership, or looks like it's going to go to Darren Weir, but Peter Moody is around about the mark. But for that Jockey Challenge for the Jockey Premiership in Victoria, Dwayne Dunn, the $2.65 favourite, Damien Oliver, $2.80, and Craig Williams at $2.90. So, really tough battle there, but that's going to be a fascinating part of the last month of the season. Yes, the better horses are just getting ready for their spring campaigns, but all of a sudden we've got a couple of ding-dong battles in the Jockeys Premierships in both Sydney and Melbourne.
Now, for Wimbledon, continuing on, we might have a little look at what's going to happen overnight there, if people think you're having an investment on Wimbledon.
Yes, well, we've got 4 Australians in action tonight, and 2 of them are up against each other, and it's the first match on Court 17 at 8:30 this evening, and Sam Groth is the $1.20 favourite against James Duckworth at $4.25. Now, following that match, we've got Casey Delacroix up against Alina Svitolina, and we can't split them. They're $1.90 each of 2 that match there, so good luck to Casey Delacroix.
Casey is a little bit like Sam Stosur at times, promises a lot and then sometimes struggles a bit to deliver, doesn't she?
Yeah, well, she's got a tough opponent. Yeah. I mean, it's basically a flip of the coin against Alina Svitolina, so we'll see what happens tonight. But Sam Stosur, she's got through to the third round, and Wimbledon hasn't been the best place for Sam, so good to see her get through to the last 32. The other Australian that's in action tonight is Ala Tomljanović, and she's a $6 outsider against Agnieszka Radwanska at $1.11. That'll be the second match on Court 2, so roughly looking around 10:30, 11 o'clock tonight. Just with the men's winner, Novak Djokovic, the $2.15 favourite, Andy Murray at $3, Roger Federer at $7. Then you get out to Stan Wawrinka at $10 and Rafael Nadal at $18. For the women's winner, Serena Williams is the $2.50 favourite, Petra Kvitova $3.75, and then in the teens, you've got Maria Sharapova at $10, Victoria Azarenka at $15, and then Angelique Kerber and Sabine Lisicki at $16. And Cozzy, throughout Wimbledon, don't sweat after the first set if you place a head-to-head bet on any Wimbledon singles match, and if your player wins the first set but loses the match, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50. So it's been offered for the first 3 nights and will continue to happen throughout the tournament. We've almost had $50,000 worth of bonus bets being provided. So there's been occasions Leighton Hewitt was one. He won the first set against Jarkko Nieminen but lost in 5 sets. Unfortunate for Leighton, but if you did have a bet on him pre-match, at least you've got a bonus bet up to $50. So once again, if you place a head-to-head bet on any Wimbledon singles match, and if your player loses the first set, wins the first set but loses the match, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50, and that applies to TAB account holders.
All right, terrific. Trent, you have a great birthday.
We'll do, Cozzy. We'll come and see you during the afternoon.
Don't light the candles in here. Smoke detectors will go off. There's not many of them. And have a good day. All right.
Thank you, Cozzy.
Ted Langscale there, tab.com.au. 10:30, Sky Sports Radio.
It's the biggest race day of the week, and Sky Sports Radio leads the charge. Racing HQ gets your Saturday off to an ideal start.
Welcome to Saturday Racing.
Giving you non-stop racing information from 6:30.
Let's get that key information.